just to help you get to know Scott and Christy better. And so we've got a number of questions already lined up for them that we'll walk through. We also have, I think, Rob Hushin with a open mic that if anybody has any questions throughout, we're certainly glad to take them. Usher in the back. Okay. All right, so we'll save a little bit of time at the end for the church to ask any questions. But meanwhile, welcome. We're glad to have you here. This is just a conversation that we're going to have, so no reason to be nervous or anything. Okay.
You keep saying that. It's just a conversation. No reason to be nervous.
I promise. So you did kind of introduce your family during the message, but not everybody was here. Did you break it?
No, I got it. I'm good.
All right. Not everybody was here. So just briefly introduce your family and start there.
Yeah. So first, this is my my beautiful wife, Christy. 18 years. Almost 18 years in May. God has been very gracious to me. Not so much to her, but very gracious to me. I've learned a lot about myself in those 18 years, for sure. Hey, kids, could y'all stand up? Sam, Lottie, Finn. So the one with the crazy curls on his head, that's Finn. He's our oldest. He's 15, just turned 15 about a month ago. And then we got little Sam there in the middle. He's 7. And the one who's swimming around on the ground is Lottie. And Lottie's going to be 13. So, yeah, they are... we got quite a family, that's for sure. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
And you've been here at Newcastle for a couple months now. What brought you to Newcastle?
Yep.
Just talk about that briefly.
Me? We were finishing, I had just finished a pastoral residency at Chillicothe Bible Church. And we were wanting to move a little closer to home, worship a little closer to home, and I live in Washington. I'm sorry. I live in Washington, Illinois, not the state of Washington. If anybody lives in Washington, come and say hi. We live on Spring Street. You'll know who we are, believe me. And we were exploring potential church homes, and we came here, and I think it took about maybe 9 minutes for us both to realize. I think God made it very clear to us that this is where he wanted us to share our gifts and serve the body of Christ. There's just no question about that. And it had nothing to do with the position, actually. I actually had decided that I wouldn't apply for it. But God really stirred in both of us, and it's always good when that happens, right?
I elbowed him. This is awesome!
She really did. Yeah, I think we got into a couple of wrestling matches about it.
So. Tell them how you heard about Newcastle. What was the connection, the first connection?
The first connection for Newcastle for me was Kevin. I had a chance to meet him. He does not remember 7 years ago, 8 years ago perhaps, when he was a pastor at Bethany, Bethany Baptist Church. and we have a wonderful relationship with Bethany Community Church in Washington. But we wanted to come here, and we heard about the preaching of God's word, the theologically rich worship, I'm just familiar with the Bethany Church family. It's a good family. It's a good family to be a part of, for sure. So, yeah, that's kind of how it happened. Oh, actually, Jamar, sorry. Now I know where you're going.
All right.
No manuscript, bro. Jamar, what a wonderful man. And Tracy... I mean, we just love them, and we knew them from Chillicothe Bible Church, and Jamar, after praying about it for a few weeks, he told me, he sent me a text message about the position, and my reply was, do you really think I'm the guy for that spot? And he said, I'll pray about it for you. And a few weeks later, we were here, and Kevin graciously interviewed me for 5 hours before I even applied for the job. So
yeah, we were here first, and then you decided to apply.
Yeah, I know it's a very untraditional way of doing it, but I think God has been glorified in it all, and we're really thankful that we've been able to walk through it together like this. Yeah, it's been really good.
And although we're local, we're just in Washington, we only know two people here. So we are new, and we don't know anybody, so.
So what was it, Christy, made you elbow him saying, let's stay here? What was it about Newcastle?
It was the worship while preaching God's word. It made my heart sing, and I was just thinking of all these verses. Yeah, in Psalm, and I do this, and I was just so excited. It wasn't boring, okay? It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think the church is worshiping here in every part of the worship service. And man, that just makes the heart of genuine believers just sing for joy. So yeah, it's awesome.
So you have two adopted children. Maybe either one of you, Christy, maybe you start. What led you down that road? What led you down that path?
Okay. Well, we have our son, Finn, which is our biological son. And he was an only child for about 8 years. And our life was really, really easy. Like, he didn't argue with anybody. He just sat and played. If he couldn't reach something, he didn't even try to get it. It was very easy. And we became very self-reliant, I would say. And I prayed a big, scary prayer. Like, God, complicate my life. I need to depend more on you. And our hearts have always been for adoption. Timing maybe has never been right. Scott really didn't like the business of adoption. We like the end result, but sometimes it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So with Sammy, we did go visit multiple adoption agencies that just did not feel right at all. And even though my heart wanted it, it just wasn't right. And then we talked to an agency here in Peoria, and Scott really liked it. But the problem is there's no babies for adoption in Peoria, maybe for a year. But after much prayer, Scott said, I think this is really who we need to go with. So we went with that agency. They told us about another agency in Arizona. And usually people wanting to adopt are waiting because you have to be picked by a birth mother. They pick the family. But when we applied, they gave us a list of like 20 moms waiting to pick families with all the information, what their race was, what sex of the baby was going to have, what drugs or alcohol they've done, how old they are. And so we just said, show our profile. It's just a picture stuff all about us to this one woman. And she picked us within one day, which was unheard of. And the short story is Sammy. He's my eyes are going to turn into heart googly eyes for a second, so be careful. He is just the baby that we had been waiting for. I got to be in the room while he was born, so it was just so, so, so special. But if you ever want to hear the long story, there's a lot of but gods in the long story that kept knitting us back together, and it was wonderful. Yeah, yeah. So you tell us about Lottie.
Yeah, for Lottie, it was... You know, I try not to overly spiritualize our walk with Christ, right, and our relationship with the Lord. But after adopting Sam, I befriended a man that I worked with, and he was telling me about how he was adopting two girls from China, and it was very inexpensive. It's not inexpensive. And he said, hey, check out their website. So I did. I put my name on the emailing list, and they would email me updates every week. And eventually, I just got sick of seeing the emails. So I
and let me stop here.
Could go.
We decided we did not want to adopt an infant, so we were looking into foster care or an older child or someone with special needs or someone who's been overlooked.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That's important information. And so I just junked their email messages. And about a year after I subscribed to their website, one of those emails snuck through. And you know whose face was on the email? That little beauty right there. And it took all of about 3.5 seconds for me to just know. You just know that she was ours, that God had appointed us to care for her.
I did not know.
Right? Well, before I got done my day at work, so this was like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. Before I got done from work, I had already contacted the agency, spoke to them on the phone, They sent me all the information that I needed to know about Lottie, videos, all of her history, all of it. And I walked in the door when I got home, and I was filled with joy. And I said, "Babe, what do you think about adopting a child from China?" And she has Down syndrome. No?
Yeah,
I said, "We're going to adopt a child from China."
A declarative statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess what? We're
and adopting. She has Down syndrome, and she said, "No, we're not." And it took a few weeks, but I wore her down. And God.
God did a work in me. It was dragon feet. No. But what about this? But I thought my life, I'm not a special needs parent. I don't have the gift of patience, but God just worked on my heart. And, sometimes problems are very overwhelming if it's a big picture. Like, there's so many orphans. What can I do? But we got one picture of one girl.
Amen.
Who needed a family. And of course, look at what God has done for us. Of course I could do that. That's easy. Look at everything God has done for me. Yeah. I mean, it's not easy. It's hard, but it's easy. So joyfully said yes.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of adoption and foster stories here at Newcastle, and you'll get to know them better as you're here longer, but it's always interesting to hear of other people's experiences going down that road. So thanks for sharing it.
Yeah.
So transitioning a little bit, Scott, to the fact that you've had a pretty successful business career over the past 18, 20 years, Caterpillar. What made you decide to seek becoming a vocational pastor?
Yeah. To be honest with you, if I really think about that, I would say it started long before just the decision to try and seek that opportunity. I would say it was probably, Christy would say it was 2 weeks after I became a Christian. I would say it was probably 2 years. I had the great privilege of speaking to a wonderful Bible teacher here in Central Illinois. I had the opportunity to listen to the preaching of God's word, and I remember telling my friend, "Hey, Mick, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to do that?" And that's all my flesh, of course, right? I think at least to some degree. And we just laughed about it as we walked out the parking lot. And he wrote down in his journal that evening, "God, I pray that you would turn my friend into a preacher." And he did. And it was just, it just continually stirred in my heart over many, many years. And then we got settled in our church home. It was Harvest Bible Chapel at the time, now Summit Point. I mean, if there's a ministry that is trying to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus, it is certainly that church and the preaching of God's word. And I our first day there, 30 minutes into the church service, I turned to Christy and I said, "That's what I need to be doing." And she said, "And this is where we need to call home." So it was a wonderful moment that God opened our eyes. And then I prayed about that for two years. So all along, even while I was at Caterpillar, even when I left Caterpillar, in seminary, even when I came back to Caterpillar, Caterpillar was just a way that God was providing for my family. And he provided in abundance. And for him, we praise him for that, for sure. But the desire's never gone away. I tried to push it away. But I think that, I keep being reminded of Paul in Acts chapter, it might be like 19, 20, 21, when God reveals to him that he is going to go somewhere, and he has to go somewhere. And along the way, everybody's like, "Don't go there. Don't give this up. Don't do that." That's kind of what it feels like when you're called to local church ministry. Hi, honey. When you're called to local church ministry, right? Even though there is much treasure and blessing in the world, there is. God does pour it out sometimes. But being able to serve him and to serve you, I mean, that is my heart's desire. And he put that in there. I didn't do that work. He did that work, right? Psalm 37. And maybe by his grace, he'll answer that desire of my heart.
Christy, you know Scott better than anybody. What causes you to believe that he is called to become a local pastor?
I think he meets the requirements laid out in Timothy and Titus for eldership. That's first. Second, you know, he did go to school to do this, but I don't think that's what makes a pastor. God has given them, he loves the Lord so much, and God has given him a true desire and love for God's people, like overflowing a lot, okay? Way more than regular people, probably. So he loves people so much, desires to be with them, wants to see them grow, wants to see them break free from the bondage of sin, and just be, you know, pointing them to Christ all of the time. So I think God makes a pastor, and I think that's something that can't be taught. And he's already given that to him.
Oh, that's good. As you think about serving potentially as a pastor of care and discipleship here, what about that position most excites you? What do you look forward to the most about it?
I mean, it covers the three major categories of discipleship, right? You get to walk along with people when they're in a season of sometimes despair. I think any time, actually, let me back up for that. Every one of those categories, all of those responsibilities that you will expect me to fulfill, and I will joyfully try to serve you in that, require a dependence on Jesus to such a greater degree. And I love the idea of knowing that, yes, I have been equipped to some degree, but I would be completely reliant on the Lord. And I want to be that person reliant on God. So just the reality of making disciples at all of those levels is so dependent on God's grace for us. Anytime you get a chance to sit with someone, to get to know someone, to understand their heart a little bit more, sometimes it takes a while, and you get to point them to Jesus and to see how he can break them free from trial and struggle and sin in their life. I got to tell you, if you've not had the privilege of seeing that happen, it is glorious. It is an act of complete worship. Not just for me, as I get to see what God does, but for them, when they get to see what he has done. I mean, it is a glorious work in terms of biblical counseling, right? Life groups, I would honestly say to you that, yes, spiritual disciplines foster amazing growth in my life, but life groups, being in community, right? For many of us, for most of us, we might find our biggest steps of growth in community, right? When we can really love one another well, right? And that's just living with one another, right? Opening the scripture, praying together, laughing together, right? Helping one another, right? Life group is so essential to the work God does in the life of those he loves. Discipleship. In terms of just men discipleship, listen, men, good men that know the Lord are apathetic in their responsibilities to their parent, to their families, right? And they just need somebody to show them the way. Right? I'm discipling my family in a very imperfect way. Believe me, from season to season, right? Sometimes I feel like I'm really, really honoring God. But other times I know that I'm not doing what I could be doing because I've allowed other things to get in the way, right? But I always have good men around me. I've got good sisters around me who can speak that truth into me to get me pointed in the right direction, right? So I can truly live this life for the glory of Christ that he's calling me to live. So discipleship is extraordinary, right? And I love that there's a vertical and a horizontal component. And we say here, relational wholeness and the intersection of those two things. And that's what we're striving for. Because that's where the center of joy is when our relationships with each other and with God join together. I mean, it's an extraordinary thing, discipleship. Walking with one another through the difficult times and the great joys. And there's nothing more that I want to be doing than that. Well, maybe one other thing. preaching. But that was a segue, bro. You weren't. Just kidding.
That was good.
Yeah, I'm not good on the fly. Sorry.
No, you're doing great. As I thought back through some of the questions we asked you in the elder interview, I don't remember which one, but I liked your answer. We asked you, how do you stay intentional in your prayer life?
Yeah.
And you preached a little bit about the importance of a prayer life. I think this morning you said your prayer life will dictate your love life, something like that. But talk about how you stay intentional and then how you effectively teach others to pray.
Spiritual disciplines. This was an important class in seminary, but it was the first real discipleship that I was given by the men who led me to Christ, was to be continual in prayer. So one, it is a discipline, right? The Bible talks about disciplining yourself, right? And the truth is that you will have no power. You will have no ability to really walk in the Spirit and love in the way that you are called to love if you are not continual in prayer, right? To me, my relationship, everything in my life flows from my relationship with God. And we have His Word, right? We have the ways we can sing songs and worship and prayer and praise, right? But it's that time with the Lord, the time with the Lord that I am refreshed and refueled. I mean, Jesus, friends, He was refreshed and refueled in prayer, right? It is absolutely essential. And I got to tell you, I put a fence around that. I guard my spiritual discipline time. It's super important. So to answer the second part of that question, how would I teach others to pray or help them be better prayer warriors? Well, two, obviously the scripture teaches us how to pray, right? Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through whatever it is, right? And Paul's prayers, there's a book about Paul's prayer. Go get that book. That is an extraordinary book. It's 100 pages. It's glorious. But truthfully, the best way to model prayer is to pray with people, right? I want to be in prayer with you. I don't want to just say that I'm praying for you. I want to pray with you at that moment that you say, hey, brother, I could use your prayer. Well, let's just pray together, right? So if I'm modeling a commitment to prayer, you are going to learn and grow in your knowledge of how to pray if we're doing it together, right? You know, teacher teaches. Student listens. Teacher and student talk. Student goes and teaches. That's the model, right? We're going to be in prayer a lot together, and it's going to be wonderful. God's going to show me my sin. He's going to show you your sin, and we're going to confess that sin, and He's going to get all the glory. It's going to be amazing. Even if I'm not in this role, this is our home. And I'm really excited to be seeking the Lord with you in that. So, yeah, super stoked about that.
You didn't mention concentric circles.
Ah!
I thought I had that as a note, but I kind of forgot what you said.
Yeah, so I have this app on my phone called Prayer Notebook. And it gives you the opportunity to really lay out a prayer schedule, if you will. So if you're wondering what to pray for or how to pray or how do I remember what Tom said or Sue said, you can get this little app and download it on your phone, on your computer, and just create a prayer list, right? And it will remind you every day of who to pray for. And you don't have to pray for everybody every day, in case you're wondering. But at key points during the week, at key points during the days of those weeks, and months and year, you can be reminded, man, let's seek the Lord in prayer for this person, right? And I always start with my family first. And that's not really entirely true. I always start with me first. I know I shouldn't. But I need more prayer than anybody that I know. I do. I don't focus on myself completely in prayer, but I start there, and then I move out my family, my wife's family, larger family, my larger family, and my local community, my leaders, right? My state, my government, the world, missionaries, and they're all sort of in these concentric circles that I work through regularly. Yeah. Get the app, Prayer Notebook. Not kidding you. It's legit. It's for Apple and Android.
So, Christy, easy question for you. What do you guys like to do for fun as a family? Spare time.
We like to be outside. And with three kids, Kids always like balls or always have balls. I don't even care how old they are. If you get a little ball. So we are always outside playing basketball. When we go for a walk, someone has a ball to play catch with. When we go to the beach, we're playing catch. You know, like we're having fun. Finn makes up challenges for us to do, which are ridiculous. And we shouldn't be trying them, but we do because it's fun. Yeah. I mean, I'm more fun? No. Do you think I'm more fun than you?
I would say that your ability to have fun with kids is definitely greater than mine.
Yeah, yeah.
It is.
So we love to do that. We love to just be together.
Yeah.
So vacations, what else? I think the Tilt-A-Whirl, it's like a fair ride, is so much fun. I howl with laughter and delight and joy, and I just can't stop. He can't handle it, even though I made him do it because it's fun. And it said, it's a family ride. It's fun.
Yeah, we look forward to the festival in Morton. Well, they look forward to it. I'm not good with rides anymore. I used to be. It's so disappointing, by the way. I used to love going on rides that flipped me upside down, and it's never good anymore.
Dramamine. I just need some Dramamine.
Yeah. It's not good.
You guys like to read books. What's a book that you'd recommend, Scott, for everybody to read? What comes to mind? One or two books.
Well, I got to tell you, it's a book I've gone back to probably three or four times. I think I'm just in continual study, is Desiring God by John Piper. I want to be a hedonist, and I want my affections focused on Jesus. And if there is a book that will do that, and that will give you deep theological foundations as to why you should do that, it's that book. That's a great, great book. I love that book.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's such a good one.
Yeah,
it's such a good one. I'll leave it at that.
So, Christy, you've never been a pastor's wife before. What are your expectations being a pastor's wife? What do you look forward to? What makes you nervous about it?
Well, I don't know what I don't know, number one. But I'm excited just to be here, to have a family, to watch Scott do what he does so well. I think this will be a very hard job that will take a lot of his time. So I want to be gracious with time that he spends away. Probably be more intentional about our time together. And we get a lot of time together. My mom lives in Lincoln and she takes the kids all the time. So we get a lot of time of just him and I together. And then what else? What was the question?
I don't remember the question. I apologize.
Yeah.
What are your expectations?
Oh, my expectations? Just to be part of a church. I just can't wait to be involved, to get to know everybody, to use my gifts just like everyone else. I can't wait to be in the women's Bible study. I can't wait to serve in VBS and Awana.
So. She's going to be awesome. I'm not kidding you. I'm not just saying that so you just laugh and giggle. She is such a wonderful woman. A godly woman, and she loves to be in the Word.
Yeah, and
I love women. Ladies, I know you love it here too. So look out, man. It's going to be legit. It's going to be really, really awesome. I'm really excited for her specifically. I am.
Yeah, and I can't wait to learn from other people and also encourage other women. So I need a little bit of both. I can do some encouraging, and also I need some teaching. And I can't wait to learn and be refreshed and encouraged by that.
So, Scott, as you think about the job description for our pastor of care and discipleship, it's pretty lengthy. And I know you've had a chance to talk with Sean Lewis.
I have.
And you've met Sean and Christy, and you've had a chance to talk to him about it. And you oversee the adult discipleship electives, and you oversee life groups, and you oversee biblical counseling. What areas of it do you feel like you're most comfortable stepping into, and what areas do you feel like this is going to take some time to develop?
Yeah. Well, I think that did you say it was men's discipleship, correct? Or just discipleship in general? So that aspect of helping you grow in your walk with Christ, I think that's probably where I'm most refined. Certainly it's not the fullness of my joy, but it's where I'm probably most refined. I think being able to even organize those ministries well, to keep them keep the machine moving, I think I'll find some reasonable success as I get to understand the system that we work in there. So in that area, I feel, I wouldn't say confident, but I feel comfortable in that sort of pure discipleship area as we're considering what to work through, how we bring the church together to invest their lives and their time, and how we organize that down the road. I would say that I love to counsel people. And although we all understand that God's word, it is the two-edged sword, right? That cuts and builds up. It is a glorious thing. But I would say to you that pure biblical counseling is probably an area that I would like to grow in more. Because I want to be able to listen really well for important things that are going on in your heart, right? And although I've done some formal biblical counseling, I've never been a leader in that space before. And so I think that in that way I can grow in heaps and bounds, and I look forward to doing that. I would say that's probably, I think, honestly, if we could call it a weakness just for the purposes of the conversation, that area, I definitely have so much growth to grow in. And I'm excited about the opportunity to do that, right? I've had some really good training in that space. I have. I had the joy of being sent to Chicago for a very robust training for biblical counseling, and God has borne fruit in me in that, right? Because it's just as good for the counselor as it is for the counselee, biblical counseling. God does a mighty work of revealing things in both people. But that space, in terms of just really, really allowing the Spirit of God to take me where He wants me to go, to give me the understanding I need to have, to help that person grow in the way He wants them to. I could really grow in that space for sure. Yeah.
Well, I've reeled off a number of questions here, and I don't want to prevent you guys from asking questions. Are there any that at this point that have popped up that you want clarification on, or anything that comes to mind? Now's your time. Can't see who it is, but I know I see a hand up.
Christy, could you tell us what your gifts are?
I have the gift of administration, teaching, I think, discernment. I'm working on my gift of encouragement. I'm really good at encouraging others. I'm working on being his CEO, his chief encouragement officer, which is what I need to be. So, I'm still trying, praying, getting better at that.
Yeah. Christy has, I think she has the gift of love. I do. I really do. And I think her desire to want to be in relationship with people is just an overflow of that. It's really something. I don't know if love is actually on the list of gifts, but it certainly flows from one of those gifts for sure. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Oh, it is on the gift. I say that in my sermon. I'm sorry. Wow.
Good question. Other questions out there? It kind of segues into one of the questions I have for you. So what does it look like to practically love a church that you're pastoring? How do you start doing that? You talked earlier about praying together, and so if you would step into this role, Scott, what are some practical first steps that you would take?
Well, I mean, I think we've been called to the ministry of reconciliation, and if you're called to the ministry of reconciliation, you are called to the ministry of grace. So I think my first and most important step is to put on that lens of grace. Right? When you're passionate about making disciples, you really want to light a fire, right? And sometimes people don't respond in the way that you would really like them to, the way that you know they would be blessed and benefit from. It's true. But looking at them through the lens of grace, that's probably my first endeavor. Lord, would you just give me eyes of grace? Because frankly, you're going to need them for me as well, right? I mean, you are definitely going to need a heaping amounts of grace for me, this imperfect, broken jar of clay.
And we've been told you're a very gracious church.
That's what we were told. Tom said it yesterday. You're a very gracious church. And so I would say that that's probably my first big step is I want to be in the ministry of grace. And I cannot do that in my flesh. Books teach you all kinds of things, right? The Bible tells you about grace, encourages to embrace grace, but it requires God to do this work in me, not just once, but every moment of every day. So that would be my first big thing. Yeah.
So you're going to, if you come on board, you'd be working alongside Kevin and Scott and Tyson. How much time have you spent together already? How well do you know them? What do you look forward to working together as a pastoral staff?
Yeah. I actually don't know them that well. I would say this, that I understand that even at my age, I have so much to learn. And I was just telling Christy this yesterday, that in those brief moments that I get to spend with Tyson, not very often, but in those brief moments, there is a godly quietness to him that I have so much to learn from, right? Being someone who is quick to think and slow to speak, this is a wonderful godly character quality. Scott and Kevin are such gifted teachers of the Bible. Their theology, all three of them theologically, it's very deep, strong foundations. I have so much to learn. And this is what drew me to this position, is that the opportunity for me to grow, right? I mean, 2 Timothy, right? Hey, let them see you grow, brother. Yeah, go. Go doing what I'm calling you to do. But let them see you grow. And what an opportunity to grow and learn from them. I did find out that Scott and Tyson and I, we do play a little disc golf. You know, like many of us, I've enjoyed that activity during the COVID season. I look forward to getting to know them, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Other questions?
It's open mic, so if you got some poetry, you got a song you want to sing, bless us, please.
Servant leadership, what's that mean to you?
Well, it means two things, and I don't want to preach my sermon right now, but it means that I serve the Lord, number one, and then I have to lay my own desires to serve you, right? Servant leadership is I am trusting in the one who is greater than I to lead you because I need to be led by him first, right? But as a leader, I need to be able to organize and formalize a good plan that blesses you and grows you and shapes you. But it really, to me, servant leader is that I'm serving you because I'm being served by the Lord, and I want to serve you from him as well. I hope that makes sense. Is that good? All right, brother. You give me a thumbs up.
Okay. Other elders, anything that you'd like asked that we haven't hit on yet? You know that if you come on board, you start out in the elder and development process, correct?
I do.
Have you looked at that curriculum yet?
I have not looked at the curriculum. It's not been supplied to me.
There's probably a couple elders in development here who would be glad to inform you how quick and easy it is.
Yeah.
It'll be a breeze.
Yes.
I've had the general conversation, and I Sean and I had a chance to meet, and man, that was a blessing in my life to meet him. And he was so gracious to share some insights about that and about some other things, and encouraged me to be committed to certain things. It was a blessing. So I have a little bit of understanding there. But I expect it to be a challenging time. I do. And only good things are going to come from it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Sean, you're here, aren't you? Somewhere? Sean, how have you encouraged Scott in pursuing this position? Can you just speak to it? Mike's coming up behind you.
Well, we had a really good time together when we met at... Okay. We had a good time together when we met at Eli's.
Yeah.
And that was really special to me because I remember you really... You ministered to me. It wasn't like an interview where you were just kind of just, you had a whole bunch of questions just to ask me. You really ministered to me. You know, it's been a transition for us, and you were just so encouraging. And that really stood out to me, Scott. So I really appreciated that. I think I encourage you with the, I'm just trying to remember back on the conversation, but I remember just encouraging you to be committed to prayer because it is a lot of responsibility. You're constantly juggling, trying to keep balls in the air, and that was something very difficult for me because I remember trying to keep so much stuff going that at times my prayer life was suffering. So I was encouraging you to not let that happen, and to start your day out like at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., just getting in the office, spending that hour in prayer, carving that time out, not letting anything interfere, but just focus on that time with Christ. Yeah. So, I would just encourage you with that, you know, again.
Yeah, yeah. If I may comment on that, you want to say something, honey, please?
I was going to say, as his family, we volunteer to sleep in every day. So he has his prayer time because he cannot be distracted. He does not do...
That's a great sacrifice you're
making
there.
It is. So we joyfully do that so that he has his time.
Yeah, yeah. I quite often get the opportunity to pray with Sam in the morning because he's an early riser. And we storm the throne together. Another thing that Sean and I talked about, and this is really important that you understand that through the process... It's a time of great testing, not just from the men that are leading you, but also just from the pressure that's being pushed in on me on every side, every step, right? There's great spiritual warfare that happens. And at every step of the way, you think, am I making the right decision? And I shared that with Sean, and he encouraged me. And this is where I got that from, was from him, to let the elders decide my future. That I don't get to play the role of God in this. That God has given them the responsibility to discern his will for this church. And that whatever direction it goes, right, it's good for me, it's good for you, and it glorifies him. But to give that responsibility over to these men. And I have to tell you that at a degree, that has brought me great freedom in doing that. I mean, he's a good man, y'all. He's a good man. That was a blessing. That time, that 2 hours. 2 hours? It was a blessing. And we had some pretty good coffee. Oh, we had hot chocolate. We had hot chocolate and cookies. It was so good. Yeah, yeah. It was so good. So good.
Well, as it speaks to our church as well that, you know, Sean and Christy and family, even post-employment here, continue to worship with us and be a part of our church.
Praise
and so
God.
We're so grateful for that. Could you just bring the mic up to Rob Hushin? Rob, if you... Rob's chaired the search team, and Rob, would you just speak to for the search team on maybe what led you guys to think that Scott would potentially be a good fit for this role?
Certainly. Whenever you get a referral in recruiting, no matter what business you're in, it bumps things up to the top of the list in a hurry. And what happened with Jamar... pressing him and how that all happened, the fact that he was already coming to our church, and those things really bring candidates to the top. But when we first got to meet Scott in person, the application is pretty lengthy, and he got it in promptly and had a tremendous testimony throughout that. And his love for people flowed through that entire document. But when we met him personally, one-on-one, and it was so nice not to be in a Zoom, because every candidate usually has to be a Zoom, because they're part, but sitting there face-to-face and being able to read a man's facial expressions as you're asking questions, it spoke a lot to us. And it was after he left the room. Fact of the matter is, we were scrambling a little bit because of vacations and people going different places to get him in. And he showed up, and I needed to get some more prep work done with the team before he could come into our room. Went out and to the waiting area, and Scott was just sitting there praying. And I said, "I'm sorry to interrupt you. I know you're praying, probably, for this process." And he says, "No, I'm actually praying for some brothers, and I can't remember the situation, but you were praying for other people that were on your heart that time." And it just, that's a pastor's heart. It's a shepherd's heart. And so right off the bat, that was my very first impression of walking out to, apologize for starting a little bit late. But yeah, all those things together just really ramped up our excitement for the candidate and where he's at today.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah. Well, we have just a few minutes left to give you one last opportunity for any questions that maybe didn't get covered. Steve?
You did a lot of things together as a family, but what is it that you and Christy like to do, yourselves? Do you have hobbies? Are there, what are they? I'm just curious.
Well, personal hobbies or hobbies together? Both personal hobbies. I think I'm interested in a lot of different things. I wish I could say it's just one thing. Like, I love to read. I know that's the best answer in this situation. Man, I'm a mad reader. And I do enjoy reading. But I like to play golf, to go fishing. I mean, I had some wonderful fishing time with Sam and Finn last year. It was really good. If we lived in a different environment, I would probably be a hiker. I love walking through the mountains. I've had the great joy of being out west for Caterpillar so many times. And on those very lengthy trips away from home, I would find myself, when I had the opportunity, in the mountains hiking. But shooting, I go shoot with my friend Mick. I know, but he asked me personally. Yeah, there's no wrong answer, right? I would say that Christy and I really enjoy just having some... I think that we've instituted this idea of couch time together at various seasons, right? Where we just get to spend time talking and listening to one another. But we like going to the movies together, and I love holding her hand when we go around for a walk. She's always the first one to pull away, in case you're wondering.
Working on being an encourager, though, so
yeah,
that's one area that's okay. That you could do better at. Hold his hand longer, would you?
I am tireless in my efforts to stay physically connected to her. We love going on walks together. We really do. It's a great time of chatting together.
Sunday drives.
We just love,
if he's working outside in the garden, I'll be near. Not really working with him, but I'm excited to be around with him. If you're like, "What are you doing? I want to be out there with you." So,
yeah. I think we're kind of normal people. We don't have specific things that really take us away from one another. In our free time, when Christy's mom, who is just a delight, she is so wonderful, and she takes all of our kids, even the dogs sometimes, and we have sometimes two nights together, just a great time of just sitting around, just being close to one another. We really enjoy it. So, we should learn to throw axes together. You would probably be very good. You've got great hand-eye coordination.
Of all the questions asked, you really struggled with that one about as bad as anything. just a simple, like, what do you like to do, you know? But they you didn't realize it, Steve, that you were really putting them on the spot.
They asked me what was my favorite Bible, my favorite book of the Bible in one of the interviews. And I think I said it was Philippians, and then I said it was everything else. So, I can be a little wordy sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got a question, actually. In your time at Harvest and there in Chillicothe, what is a ministry that you have been a part of or seen that would fall under your purview that you would love to see implemented here at our church, or a ministry that we already have that you'd like to see grow?
Yeah, so I don't think I would. I have no vision in terms of additions to what we're doing. I think the vibrancy of discipleship that's happening in the church is just wonderful right now. So for me, it's much more about getting to know the system. I think you'll find me the kind of person very quickly that comes in and can help refine a system. Not so great at creating new systems, but can help move an existing system in maybe a little slightly different direction. I think that's kind of where I'm at. Where I served at Harvest was in the biblical counseling ministry. I had the opportunity to lead some of the men's breakout sessions during their men's arsenal meetings, just that glorious worship of 600 men on an evening and having those very large breakout sessions. And part of that is just saturated in prayer. So I served in that respect. And I helped in the middle school ministry. That was wonderful. To preach the gospel to little kids when I was just learning how to preach the gospel. They are so gracious, those little people. At Chili Bible, I got to preach at least once a month, sometimes multiple times. I was called on a few times because pastor got sick or got pulled away. And I got to serve, got to teach in the men's Bible study. We taught through the book of Acts. That was wonderful. And any opportunity I had to encourage people. I did do a little biblical counseling at Chili Bible, not very, very informal. And then, of course, discipleship groups. We were in discipleship groups. I was in two. And it was wonderfully life-giving for me, an opportunity for me to share my heart and to listen to other people share theirs. So I think it's all of those things, those experiences, that will help serve me here. Does that help answer the question?
Yeah, awesome.
Okay.
Well, we are out of time, but
darn,
I know. Thank you both.
I've enjoyed this.
Being willing to be transparent with Newcastle today and allowing them to get a chance to know you each a little more and introduce your family, and look forward to second service, Scott. So why don't I wrap us up in prayer, and then
please,
we'll be dismissed.
Yeah.
Well, Father, we're grateful for this time. Thank you for Scott and Christy's transparency throughout this question and answer time, and we're just thankful for the opportunity that Scott has to preach your word today, and we're thankful that it has gone forth already, and we pray that you would lead him and guide him through second service. We pray that seed would be planted on fertile soil and would grow and produce fruit. Hmm. We're thankful for this family at Newcastle, regardless of whether ends up in the pastoral role or not. We pray that they would be well cared for here, and we pray that they would use their gifts and talents that you've given them to care for others here in our church. We pray that their three children would feel very welcome here, that they would get to know other kids their age, and that they would feel like Newcastle's a home to them. We pray for wisdom and for clarity and discernment as elders as we discuss later this week whether or not to call Scott to this role. We pray for merciful clarity in this, and we just desire your will to be done. So go with us further on this day. We pray that you bless the word spoken and continue to help us to fellowship well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you.